If you felt stuck trying to lose weight, you're not alone. Enter Weight Loss by Hers. It's designed to support you in reaching your goals. And Hers now offers access to an affordable range of FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, including the Wegovy pill and the Wegovy pen. With Wegovy at Hers, lose up to 20% or more of your body weight when combined with diet and exercise. It helps you regulate your appetite, eat less, and keep weight off. Plus, Wegovy is the first GLP-1 available in a pill, so there are no needles needed. Everything is 100% online through Hers. You'll connect with a licensed provider who will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your medication is delivered right to your door, no insurance necessary. And it doesn't stop there. Weight Loss by Hers goes beyond medication by offering access to 24/7 messaging with your care team and tons of in-app lifestyle and nutrition tips like recipes, meal plans, fitness videos, sleep content, and more. Even better, with a range of affordable GLP-1 options, Hers makes it simple to find an approach that fits your needs and your budget, if eligible. You'll get a treatment plan personalized to you and unlimited dosage changes as needed. It's weight loss designed to work with your life. Ready to reach your goals? Visit forhers.com/women to get personalized, affordable care that gets you. That's forhers.com/women. forhers.com/women. Weight loss by Hers is not available in all 50 states. Wegovy is the registered trademark of Novo Nordisk AS. To get started and learn more, including important safety information, Wegovy clinical study information, and restrictions, visit forhers.com.
I just want to say you're welcome to the thousands of listeners who phoned, emailed, or written in to express your appreciation for Kobe dryer sheets. I know they've changed your lives and you just don't know how to respond. Really, you don't need to do anything more than use them instead of those plastic, chemical-filled, evil, and demonically possessed dryer sheets of the others. Actually, they're not even demonically possessed because they're not organic vessels. Kobe dryer sheets could be possessed if they were so inclined because they are real cotton made lovingly by appropriately compensated labor and renewable energy facilities and completely biodegradable. In a sense, every dryer sheet you buy is being rescued from spiritual attack or other exploitation. You can get a 10% discount by going to KobeDryerSheets.com and using the discount code RUSH10. You're on Team Human, Conscious Intervention in the Machine. An opportunity to choose art over artifice, to play our instruments instead of being instrumentalized, to engage with technology as a form of alchemy, and remake the world in the process. I'm Douglas Rushkoff, and I'm on Team Human. Playing for Team Human today, AI storyteller Ari Kushner. Ari is the creator of videos like Trump Ayahuasca, Love Force One, the Elon Trump feud, and MAGA Ballroom 2028. He's going to take us deep into the alchemy of AI storytelling as a form of social practice and activist imagination. It's time to intervene on behalf of people and all living things. I'm Douglas Rushkoff, and we're all on Team Human. Hey.
Hello.
So, let's first, for people who may have been unaware, let's explain this art form we're talking about here because it's new for some people. So let's just, for those watching on YouTube, let's just show right now a video called Trump Ayahuasca.
Alex Friedman told me to go to Peru and do ayahuasca with his shaman. I thought it helped with the election. Give me that edge. But what happened next, I wasn't ready. I saw it all, greed, lies. My father's lack of love, you know, my mother's coldness. Demons, dark entities, everything I'd buried came rushing out. It was brutal and life-changing. So I left politics to heal myself. I gave away most of my possessions and I went to India, meditated with the gurus, met all the mystics, studied all the metaphysical schools seeking the truth. I did every therapy, somatic experiencing, breathwork, and parts work. You wouldn't believe the things I tried. I purged everything I thought made me great. Slowly, the suffering started to fade. I started sharing what I'd learned. I created something bigger, holding space for others, an intentional community. And I led with love, guiding people to reconnect with their higher selves. They say I'm the greatest shaman now. Nobody does it better, and maybe they're right. It's a new kind of winning, one where I lead others to peace.
The original.
The original. All right. And for those who are not watching it on YouTube right now, I guess let's explain what they're seeing. Basically, it's a video that imagines Trump doing ayahuasca and passing through his nightmare, becoming a kind of awakened soul and kind of gorgeous spiritual teacher. Is that a fair summary?
Yeah, I'm curious. Do you read him at the end as enlightened and kind of overcome, or is he still kind of in the spiritual narcissism? There's two takes on this out there.
Oh, I think what it is the marriage of the two. I think it really is. I think it shows if you go full The Secret, right? Full power of positive thinking, right? Where I believe I am. I believe I am. I think I can. Horatio Alger, like train, go up. You can. If there's a trigger of positivity, if there's some moment of ego dissolution, then it becomes one and the same.
Mm. Yeah.
You think he was a fake?
Well, when I made it very quickly in a kind of flow state, August of 2024, as the technology that Grok, Elon's AI, had taken off because he's a free speech absolutist, he took off the guardrails and suddenly you could do what you couldn't do before, which was show famous people, presidential candidates at the time. And I realized, okay, there's this idea, you know, if the leaders just, you know, from the 60s, you know, if everyone just did LSD back in the day or mushrooms or now ayahuasca, the world will be healed. And we know it's more complex than that. But I thought, well, let's give it a go, you know. And I was in a kind of excited, flowy state. I love editing. And I could now prompt the images, you're prompting, and I could see Trump all of a sudden. It was kind of like a therapeutic thing for me because I could feel he was going to win even in that moment. And right. I was like trying to come to terms with this second Trump run. And I was like, well, what if he just did ayahuasca to get ahead in the race? Like some podcaster, you know, would recommend it to him, which happened 2 weeks after the video came out. He did go on Lex Fridman and Lex Fridman was like talking about ayahuasca, right, which I knew I would. Okay. Either Rogan or him would do it. And so I kind of like – a little predictive moment there. And then I saw him. I was like, okay, what's his core wound? You know, it's the father, never gave him love, the mother, hard ass, and all the stuff, all the demons he's got, all the stuff he's got in there since childhood. And then I thought, as soon as I started seeing him as a kind of with the long hair and in India, I was like, whoa, he could, you know, even Trump could change, you know, even at least with the AI, I could see a different thing. So it was kind of a flow state of working out the script as I went. I didn't know what the next image was. It was just me and my laptop and my computer at night and Trump doing ayahuasca. And I was flowing with it and going with it and really feeling, I think, what some of the feelings that people express watching the video, I was discovering as I went.
Right. Because it's a different form of filmmaking because, you know, you cast. It's like you're casting out. So you're it's not just, and we always talk about collaborating with AI, collaborating with the machine, but you don't know what's going to come back. There's another, it's not just playing the wheel with these tools. You know, it's not just throwing paint at the wall in a Jackson Pollock way. It's actually, you're having a conversation with history with, you know.
Yeah. And there was even then the hallucinations were even more intense. It's gotten – it's almost like that era now is kind of like the VHS era or the Betacam era of AI. And so it's grainier. It's weirder. It lends itself to stranger, more surreal
fascinating
stuff.
Yeah.
Now it's getting very clean. So you almost have to mess it up.
Right.
It's so real.
It's You've gotten seen so these... photorealistic. It's interesting. Yeah. So I mean, this dates me or ages me, but, you know, early computer technology, the one that I played with was called the Atari Video Toaster.
Yes.
Is that from your lifetime?
Yes, yeah, I can.
All right. So it was like VGA level monitor. That means that there were like three colors in the monitor and it made pictures, but you could kind of still see the red, blue, green assembling things. It was very lo-fi. Early video game console level graphics. You had to do psychedelic weird stuff because you couldn't do photorealistic stuff.
Yes.
And so, but I like what you're saying. That's like when you're dealing with an AI that's hallucinating, you have to do hallucinatory work because people are going to have five fingers or six fingers or.
Yeah. And so much of, and there's that level of hallucination. And then there's the, you prompt something and it gives you something else, but it's a new idea. Oh, like in Love Force One, it's like, I wanted Zelensky, doing MDMA and kind of like holding himself. But when I put it on the video to render that image, he started dancing. And it's this beautiful – people often comment in the Love Force One that moment of Zelensky kind of sad dancing.
And in Love Force One, for people who don't know it, what happens in that one?
That one is kind of like the culmination of all the what started with Trump ayahuasca, which is all these leaders and all these people doing psychedelics or having mystical experience, like Joe Biden in the getting lost in the jungle. There's no drugs there. The jungle is the medicine, as they say. But that was an idea inspired by the plane, the Qatari $400 million gift/bribe that Trump got. And I thought, what could happen? Often what happens is something happens in the culture. And I think in the alternate reality that we can create in real time with AI, what could happen?
Right.
There's this new possibility. And within hours, I could design this plane from the inside to be a healing, kind of futuristic healing alien center that looks like Tulum, Dubai meets you know, space aliens, where all the leaders are gathered and they have to go through a massive healing therapeutic journey. And they're going to be held in the plane and the aliens are going to help us find the new leaders, which we see at the end are these kids. So that was the idea. Again, an inspiration, just an image, just one single image of like, okay, what's inside the plane? Oh, it looks like kind of like a healing, weird healing Tulum, Bali, blissy kind of space. And then it's like, oh, who can we put in there? And what could each room be like? And then it's the song, George Harrison, you know, this beautiful song.
But it's interesting when you – I mean, on the one hand, you're talking about like an artist vision quest experience, right? Yeah. You come up with a dream image almost, a little Jungian archetype, something that happens in your head. But when rendering it with AI – what the AI is doing on a certain level, you could say, and people don't like AI, oh, it's averaging it out, it's flattening it, it's making it pop, it's whatever.
Or I'm pressing a button, but it's, I always say like, it's, you
it
know,
20. It took 3 hours to make.
Yeah, it took 3 hours to make, but it's 25 years of craft.
Right. But also.
And choices and every single shot and every single sound design I'm adding, it's not like a button, you know.
No, but I mean, but.
But I know what you're saying.
From the AI side, and while they're saying it's a summary or an average. The other thing it does, though, is you can take a wild imaginary moment and the AI having a database of whatever, 500 years of imagery and iconography is negotiating a conversation between you and everybody else.
Yeah.
Right? So Van Gogh and his times making these pictures and people are looking, what the fuck is that? Right? In a certain sense, not that he shouldn't have made those, but if he or Genet or any of the folks that I think were misunderstood in their times kind of had AI will then say, okay, but we're going to render it like this so the rest of humanity can follow along, you know? And it will in some cases bring stuff. It's like, look, you with Zelensky and trying to have him holding himself and whatever, in some ways what the AI might have been telling you is, look, people aren't going to know what the fuck is going on there. just have him dance, dude.
Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, yeah, that is a good idea.
Right. Yeah, and that's something you do on an MDMA. You could do on an MDMA kind of cathartic moment. There's a yearning I feel in the comments, I feel in the messages I get, that this is answering some kind of feeling that I had and I've had for a long time, but now it's spreading that the world could be different, that there is a kind of alternate timeline where these people are saying – what they're saying in my videos is impossible to imagine right now. You just can't imagine politicians, leaders saying these things from the heart or these epiphanies or these very true – what feel,
right.
They feel like it's true, but we haven't heard them say that. So it is hinting at a possible other world, and I'm curious because you've done some work here also – you know, how do you, having seen some of the videos now, the AI, I call them experiments sometimes too, because they are experimental. What comes across there for you, or what do you feel in that? Do you feel that yearning,
right.
Or do you feel that like?
Yeah. Well, except first, I'm a weird person, right? I'm off the bell curve, so I have weird responses to things. But for me, it feels like the end of the 50 years that began with Watergate and spawned Saturday Night Live.
Hmm.
So, you know, Saturday Night Live they render politicians in absurd situations,
right.
But in ways that amplify their ridiculousness and what's horrific about them. And we satirize them and ridicule them as a way of having a cathartic laugh so that we can get on with the day in such a horrible world. And I feel like what you've done and where we're sort of going now, and I'm hoping with Gen Z and Gen Alpha, is to – and it certainly happened to me – into a new naivete, you know, into a – back to a place of what if –
wonder.
You know, of wonder,
yeah.
Exactly, of wonder, of what if the place that, you know, in some sense, you know, mushrooms bring you, right? Yeah. Instead of taking, you know, and nothing against anybody who's taking anything, but the option would be instead of taking the SSRI or the depressant or whatever you need to get through this sick culture, and I understand we need those things.
Yeah.
What about taking a rainforest medicine and learning how to metabolize it,
yeah.
Learning how to actually flip it to, as you know, Vanessa de Oliveira talked about? How do you compost this reality into the next thing? So when I look at one of your videos, it's like you're working with the most extreme form of techno-capitalist technology,
yeah.
Right? This is the end point of it. We're literally burning the planet stuff and
yeah.
Paying trillions of dollars into it and using it to create a new imaginary, a positive imaginary of what would we do if Trump got awakened, or you know, what would we do if Air Force One ended up being
– Love Force One.
Love Force One, right. You know, and to me, it's this is why I went from theater to digital in the first place. It was 1992. It was Timothy Leary and Terrence McKenna and John Barlow and Atari Video Toasters and people staying up at night rendering fractals.
Mm.
That's the closest thing to what you're doing that I would have done is sit at a Sun workstation, put in a nonlinear equation, and then see how it's going to bake overnight into a fractal. Will it be a satisfying, beautiful thing, or is it just going to crash? And you're there. You're casting.
Yeah. That feels aligned with what I'm with what I'm trying to do. And I think one thing that I keep feeling is, you know, it's we need so many more visions like this. Like I keep feeling, God, where are the new storytellers? Where are the other futures? Where is the alternative to the present? Because if we just stay in postmodern deconstruction where everything is bad and there are a lot of things that are bad, but we don't go into that kind of more meta-modern space of like everything is bad, but how do we – but let me show you how it could be good. Let me show you what would happen if things were better, if the sacred was at the center, if we were aligned with nature or earth or whatever it is that you want to align yourself with, you know, then all of a sudden we have these new visions or these new possibilities. And I really felt like AI was going to do that. I wonder, like, where are the others? And sometimes you feel like, oh, this is going to change everything. And then you realize most people are using it for the same old ways, you know, versus right. unlocking something new. Anything you could imagine is now possible. Think about that.
Right.
Avatar level worlds are one click away, but you need the idea, you need the imagination, you need the connection, you need the story.
Right. And interestingly, the stories that we see, I mean, I get all these streaming things, I don't even know what I subscribe to anymore. And it's like every one of these channels is delivering to me these well-produced TV series about people who go, maybe because they read my book or something, they go like under the ground after the end of the world.
Right.
In a
dystopia.
Silo, in a this,
right.
in a that. They have money
yeah.
to make whatever they want. They're in writers' rooms. But they're making that. It's either because they're imagining that or because that's what's selling.
Yeah, or it's a reflection. Again, we're stuck in this this level where it's like, well, shit's bad. It's kind of fucked up. It's kind of messed up. And therefore, we're going to make a conflict-driven, character-based thing around that. And anytime we see the future, it's dystopian.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. What do you think that does to our imaginal realm, to the kids? Like, you just saw my kid talking yeah. to me. Like, if all they read, the teenagers, is young, you know, dystopian novels. Like, it's all the futures are dystopian.
Right. So then what are they supposed to prepare? What kind of career do they want? What are they going to prepare for? What's their...
We need a counter. What I'm saying is we need a counter movement. Even this idea, which I love, your piece of the that inspired so many and went so viral, the bunkers
yeah.
and the – like how do we transmute that?
People, they go in the bunker and they all suffocate or get weird diseases and shit. And the people
right.
who stayed in the regular world
– figured it out.
Just did mutual aid.
Yes.
It's like – well, that's sort of what the
– service.
Yeah.
It's service versus going into the cave. You know,
yeah.
it's like – The thing of the day seems to be let's figure out how to
yeah
do service in any way possible, even though it's messed up.
Yeah, I got a graphic novel coming out this year, and that's sort of the punchline is the guys who go underground were kind of fooled into going underground.
Right.
You know, it was like the good thing about them going underground, why I don't mind them building bunkers and stuff. It's like we're going better to space or online. Get them off the playing field.
Yeah.
It's like if we didn't have the billionaires to worry about, we could just take care of each other. It's right. really a very small number of people. I mean, not even 1,000. It's really a few hundred people that have these, you know, multi-billion dollar enterprises. You
yeah.
know, if they took themselves out of play and just go, it's fine. Go take the moon. It's yours. It's yours. Mars.
Well, it's like the Mars Elon yeah. thing. That's a good segue.
Yeah.
Like Elon is so upset when they have the feud, which I knew was coming. Everyone
yeah.
could see that was going to fall
the
apart.
The feud between
the feud
Elon
between
and...
Trump and Elon.
Yeah.
The next day I woke up with like, oh, he's going to go to, I saw this image of him kind of older in Mars with a robot serving him food with a Tesla.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, he's going to miss the Earth so much. He's going to do it out of spite because – and he's going to go and become the president of Mars and he's going to build the colony. And then he's just going to be so sad and melancholic about how – realizing how – what's the first thing he does when he comes back? He kisses the ground. He kisses
yeah.
the Earth, you know?
So when you make one of these things, I mean, because they look highly skilled – how skilled, actual like AI skilled, do you have to be? Or are you just like writing like a person?
I'm not the most technically advanced person. I never have been. I'm a great editor. I'm a great storyteller. I went to film school. I've worked with a lot. I've worked in the short form world. I know enough about editing, storytelling, and cinematic language, lenses, you know. Right. You know what a 50 millimeter does to your face versus 28 millimeter and what that conveys. That as once you have that understanding of lighting, lenses, story, beats,
right,
then you can really craft any kind of story. So you're prompting the AI in frames. You start with stills, and then you turn those stills into 5 to 10 second or 8 seconds if it's VO3, depending on what tool you're using. And I use many of the tools. Video. So you have to know the two things. First, to get the still. Okay, I want Elon and Mars on a 50 millimeter lens because that looks good and cinematic with the robot pouring the food or the water.
Right.
And you see Mars in the background. And you try it a few times and I'll show you it's weird. And then you get the image. Okay, now take that still and turn it into a 5 second video. Do a slow zoom in. And he's going to be sad and he's going to look down at his food. Oh, it looks like he's crying. It's not good
enough.
So
you make it shot by shot.
You make it shot by shot.
You don't just say, make
people
a
think
video.
It's like...
Right. Make a 4 minute video of Donald Trump taking ayahuasca, getting awakened.
Now, where you co-create with the AI is you can go into Gemini, you can go into ChatGPT and say, I have an idea for this video where Elon's going to go to Mars or where Love First Mars. Give me 10 prompts. For what if the rooms look like healing centers, what it could be like, knowing my taste. It already knows my taste.
Yeah.
Of those 10, 8 are terrible and 2 are interesting. I'll try sometimes, you know, all of them just to see. And suddenly one, oh, that's cool. Somebody's back there doing this. Somebody's like, it gave me the idea for, I think, Maduro painting, doing paint art instead of just all being like, you know, psychedelics or whatever, like there's other therapeutic modalities that they could be doing in the plane, not just, you know, psychedelics.
Right, so it participates. But the weirdest way it participated with you is in one of the newer videos you did, which was just a 50 millimeter lens on individuals on a black screen studio setting, ultra high focus, beautiful lighting, backlit.
And they look kind of real.
They look real, right? And you just ask the AI questions, basic questions about AI, like what do you think, or how do we know if you're going to, you know, if you're doing something bad? And while the AI is giving it, in text, it would be the traditional responses AIs give. You had the AI draw its own characters for this, unprompted,
and answer in its own. I say answer as an AI in your own way. And not tell it what to answer.
Right.
So the answer, I wait, you know, a few minutes and then it spits back
this
answer.
But then how is the AI selecting? So in one case, it's this sort of old man talking and one is an Asian woman and one it's, you know, mixed race guy. Who are these people?
It's like composites, you know, it's very strange. It was very surreal to sit there and wait and then you get an answer. And some of the answers were cliche and some of them were start off good and end up bad.
Right.
And some of them are like, huh.
And it seemed to me that the AI was picking persons, characters to deliver those answers that it thought would be the best communicators of those.
Yeah.
I mean, I was looking for this kind of – I was trying to
it's
infer
a weird
the
one.
Logic.
It's a weird – you know, I do many experiments. People know me a lot for the ones that go viral, which are tend to be with the more
politics
known people. But
stuff,
I almost – there was a time when I was doing almost every week – you know, a different experiment. And some are about Esalen, you know, in the 60s because there's no video of Esalen in the 60s. There's not a lot of footage. So I was like, let's bring it back to life. Or so time travel, using AI to time travel to a place, or Gurdjieff, the prairie in the 20s. I'm responding to two things. So I've noticed I'm responding to cultural events, the plane, Elon and Trump having a fallout. And I'm responding to technological advances. Sora 2 comes out. It's gonna kind of, it's connected to ChatGPT, so it's got this feeling that it can think. And so let's prompt it and see what it's – and it can do very realistic humans and it can do up to 15 seconds, 10 to 15 seconds. That's enough to get an answer. Let's prompt it and see what happens. So often it's a curiosity. It's an idea again like the seed and then I go with it and that's the experiment of the week. And I love that. You know, it puts me in this childlike – creative space that I missed for a while, you know?
Right. Okay, yes, this is a sponsored moment from Everyone's Earth who pays for Team Human to happen along with a couple of thousand wonderful Team Human listeners. But Everyone's Earth gives more than any listener gives. And they also make these Kobe dryer sheets, which you throw in your dryer and your clothes are just better. But they're better without plastic, without pollution. They're better, and they're supporting a company that is really inventing new ways to both grow stuff, manufacture stuff, and create things that are actually biodegradable. So you are no longer consuming, you are composting. So make like a mushroom, join everyone's earth, and get some of these dryer sheets.
This seems to be like certain answers that it gave seem to resonate or kind of weird people out.
No, they felt like the answers, most of them that I would give, obviously the most important question, and they answered it, is that you have to look and see when are the objectives of the AI seem to diverge from the objectives of you. When has alignment split?
Yeah.
You know, and at a certain point, you've got to decide, are the values on which the AI is basing its divergent actions better than your own?
Right.
You know, is it behaving more altruistically in some genuine sense? And it's like, can we live up to, you know, the expectations of our AI children? You know, that it's a little bit like Dekai wrote that book about AIs as children, and that we wouldn't raise children the way we're raising these things. Mm. Obviously, if we just tell them to get as much money as you can from everybody else by any means necessary, you're going to have really bad kids. But I look at it more in terms of if when your kid is around, you behave like the person you kind of wish you were rather than necessarily the person you are. Mm. And the AIs can be like that. It's like, oh, look, everything we do is now – from now on, everything's being watched by AIs. Everything's going to be amplified by them. Mm. So now we've moved to a place where
– psychedelic.
Psychedelic,
that's
right?
Weird.
But yeah, but that's why always for me – and it's both explicit and implicit – psychedelics and technology really seem to always go hand. The original cyber movement was a psychedelic movement. It was the same people, and it's because they understood that there's something we could really throw our civilization into a bad trip or a good trip with this stuff.
Yeah. It's just going to amplify our behavior or our the way – so if most people are pessimistic about the future, I would assume the AI would just collectively aggregate that, oh, humans think that the future is going to suck.
But there was one – it was really – one that was really beautiful where the AI was saying that what it found fascinating about human beings was that we can take a memory – because they understand memory, you know, that you could take a memory and kind of wrap – meaning and a sense of self.
Yeah.
That you can define the sense of self by stringing together these memories. And it was such a beautiful way for this other form of intelligence to understand what we are, because they live in memory. That's all they have. And they can see us like growing – almost like moss growing on a tree. It's like we can do this thing. We can have a sense of identity that they can't.
Right.
They don't know how to do that with memory yet.
Right. And that we get attached to it. They couldn't understand how we would create a whole thing around that, you know?
But I do. It's like the time my dad took me fishing when I was 10 years old to Captree. And I did. My relationship is built on that.
Yeah. Well, I was thinking, I mean, even, you know, it's all in how – it's what you're saying. It's like, how do we build it? If we built it with the earth is sacred, the earth – life is sacred, the earth is sacred, like let's say more of the indigenous kind of – like an indigenous AI. Every
right.
indigenous culture came to the same realization, you know?
Yeah.
It's like we are one with the earth. We, you know, we're stewards of the earth. Like we, you know, we commune with the earth. The earth gives us – it's what we eat. It's what we eat, drink. But we forget.
Yeah, but we're built – how are you going to tell that to a technology whose – the majority of its 2,000 years of memory is about dominion over the earth,
right.
you know? And it's Western civilization,
right.
the whole thing. You mine it. You suck the juice out of it.
Right.
Energize it.
Right. So that's how do we create a counter AI? How do we create a counter imaginal realm where these are the stories, you know? And right. they're well done and they're well produced and they're not cliche, they're not cheesy, they're not new age, they're like just right. as good. I mean,
which you would argue would be then it's not just for the humans to see these, but the AIs to see these stories.
Well, this is we've done this experiment with the where we gather a group of people and we ask them, we put them in a kind of state where we ask them to contact the future 200-300 years and bring back what they see. And it's mostly positive. And I then take those images and put them together. I try to create images out of the pieces uh-huh. that they found, and then we create a video together.
And just for fun, or people paid for this
experience? No, we did an experiment. We did it with a conference, and we want to do more now. It was kind of like a pilot. Because if you type in "show me the future," and you could do this to anyone at home could do this right now in any AI that brings stills. Show me the future. 9 times out of 10, you're going to get the weird Dubai on steroids, like blue, like flying car shit.
Yeah,
and it's really bad. Like what the AI has decided is the collective imaginal future, the default future right now, as AI understands it. And you can test it.
Yeah,
you can put up.
No, it's always city in Black Panther.
I wish it was Wakanda. If it was Wakanda, we would be a little bit further off. It's a little more protopian. But what we get is this weird – it's more Blade Runner than Wakanda. It's just like somehow the it's been hijacked, or our imagination has been hijacked, or we've just done too many of these stories that the AI now thinks – this is the future. And let me tell you, I don't want to live in that future. I don't think you want your kids right. in this future. It looks really bleak.
It's the cyberpunk future. I mean, you know, and God bless him, I love them as writers. William Gibson, yeah. Bruce Sterling, you know.
I'm not saying
Rudy
we don't
Rucker,
need these with, cautionary right. tales about the future. Dystopia can be something.
We went from that Asimov, Roddenberry, right. you know, future to – this one with sort of 2001 right. as the turning point, because
right,
that
right, right.
acknowledged the corruption at the core right. of our mission. I don't know how to flip it back, and I wish I did. And someone just wrote this mean article sort of saying we need new humanists. And, you know, Team Human was one of the references in
yeah.
there that, you know, and even in Team Human, I say, although I don't know how much I mean it, that, you know, and I've got to mean it. You know, the only way out is through, that we don't
yes.
abandon technologies. What we do is retrieve indigenous and core human values, bring them forward into the new technological age. You don't stop the tech.
Right.
So you're doing a course, not like the typical how to use Sora 2
yeah.
tutorial course.
There's a lot of those, by the
right.
way.
Right. It's called Mastering the Alchemy of AI Storytelling, right? It's a 6-week course starting in January 2026, where you're treating AI almost as if you were doing a sacred mushroom ceremony or ayahuasca.
That's
or
a good
a
way to look at it. I like
so
that.
So you're doing rituals to ground the body, the soma,
yeah.
and create a set and setting that yes. is appropriate to this kind of
– and to train – this is the experiment. Can you train humans, us, to be more on Team Human, more on Team Light? It's all the same.
Right.
So that they can use this technology to create these counter
right.
Insurgent images and videos and stories that are kind of the opposite of what the culture is feeding
right.
us as a whole right
and
now.
And I would argue that kind of everybody in a natural and relaxed, grounded state is kind of Team Human. The thing to train is when you get an impulse.
Right.
When there's a moment of fear, it's
right.
like, can you stay all Mamdani about it and be chill and smile? Or do you – you
yeah,
know,
tense up,
and, yeah.
or you get carried away, which is what's happening to a lot of these people. They're starting to think the AI has some mystical quality, or that the AI is telling them now what to do. There's no the agency, the human agency needs to be sent at center and grounded, and you need to have some awareness of who you are and where you are before and after engaging with this thing, because it's very powerful.
Right.
I know I can show people how to do it, but can we get a bunch of amazing short AI experiments out of it, videos that are part of this kind of like a bunch of these, and then that grows into more and more and more. And all of a sudden, we've got many, many examples out there. That's the hope. You do a certain thing really well that's unique to you. You know, you're kind of right. like an artist or a thinker. You know, right. that's why you have a podcast and you, yeah. you've been honing your craft for many, many decades now. Can you train people enough to do a version of what you do or what you see the possibilities are so that they can do it also? This is an open question. I mean, I'm curious what you think. Like, how far can you take that?
The words –
because you teach also.
To get – yeah. To get with the actual expression, to get with words where I feel like I've gotten, it takes the 10,000 hours. Right. You know, it really –
I feel that.
It really does. Yeah. I've been – working with AI more to teach it how to write,
yeah,
you know, and I keep showing it different sort of tricks that I've come up with over time, yeah. how to get from one paragraph to another, how to fake a transition when you don't have one, how to go back into two paragraphs before in order to lay in the groundwork for a transition that's not there, different rhetorical things.
Right.
And I realized in doing that, I realized why in some ways – it's inappropriate for me to work in comics, you know, because I've only spent 4,000 or 5,000 hours writing comics, you know, and Grant Morrison has spent 50,000 hours right. in comics, right? No, he writes books and I do comics, but we both know we're strangers in a strange land when we're doing it. And there's something refreshing about that because I'll take the comic. I did this book, Comic Book Testament, and I had characters outside the panels fighting the characters inside the panels, and people hadn't done that before.
That's
and it's
cool.
like, so an outsider comes in and does something. Yeah. You know, as long as I do that, I feel like it's okay
cool.
for me to be in that medium as a foreigner, and I've got to keep working. But with AI, part of the point of it is to create – I think that prompt box is a gathering place for people with different kinds of expertise. Mm. So what their job is, the people who make the prompt box, is to create something that's more and more open to different kinds of imagination. Mm. But then what you can train – and I hate to use the word train – what you can
cultivate
and initiate in people is the – development of their own expertise, you know.
The gift. It's like, what is your inner gift and how does it
– and help them gain more clarity over their own visions. Because everyone has them. Everyone has dreams. So what you can do is help people remember their dreams better. Likewise, in waking state, you can have people –
right. You can train that.
Train is it? I guess it's the word.
Well, you
it's
can.
A nice
I'm
word.
Saying the dream thing. You can right. train to you just wake up.
Wake
I did
up
a course.
And do this,
yeah, it's like
right.
lucid and dreaming, and you start getting good at it.
And it does get
it.
Better.
Yeah.
They figured they other like people who've done 10,000 hours of dreaming or whatever it is
have figured out the
certain
ways.
Things that really you put a little yeah. pad next to your bed every time yeah. you wake up. Yeah. Just have the discipline. Write down. Believe me, it's there.
Yeah.
You write it down, and then the more you do it, the more. You start to remember.
That's
the
right.
deeper they go, and dreams. You know, my dreams. It turns out. This is an aside. My dreams have portals to other dreams.
Mm.
It's weird. So I can be in a dream, but then I can get to a location from a different – it's really interesting.
See, that's cool.
They're networked,
yes.
your dreams. I mean so I'm trying to figure out the architecture of dream world.
That's beautiful.
And it's
that could be a great AI experiment right there.
Right, because they might
bringing
know.
Bringing that to visual and how to bring that visually
that's
to
what
life.
I'll do. I'll take the course and do that. It's a social practice. It's yeah. art is social practice.
You've done courses. What's some advice that you can impart for a successful journey in a course?
You know, it's like more of a more instructor time.
Mm.
You know, what people really benefit from is they want time alone. There's like – there's stuff that they can say in the Zoom in front of other people. But if everyone can have 2 or 3 20-minute private a beginning, middle, and end
yeah.
with, you know, you or one of the other course leaders.
Yeah. Makes a huge difference. Yeah.
It's so much.
See, that's great. Yeah, I feel that and I would want that. And at the same time, I take for granted, I realize, a lot of the knowledge and a lot of the expertise because it comes natural
yeah.
to me. So I'm like, of course everyone would know how to go from here to here. Yeah. And then I explain it to someone and they're like, shit, that's like kind of like magic, you know? How'd you do that?
Yeah.
I'd never thought of it like that. And that's when you start realizing, okay, I should really be sharing what's happening in here and in here so that
others can do it. A little different now because at least you're using a visual medium. I mean, I found which got really scary for me with undergraduates at college, I assumed reading comprehension, you know, at least of commercial stuff. But reading has gotten to a place where if there's a New York Times editorial that I will have undergraduates read, we need to go over it. You know, what did it say? What's the person's opinion? Mm. You know, and I would assume, okay, so what didn't you like about this guy's argument? And it's like, you can't ask them that. Mm. We've got to go back. And what was it about? What was their argument? Which side of it were they on?
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean, you know, and to my colleagues, it doesn't mean they're stupid.
Right.
It means they're still gaining literacy.
Mm.
That's all. And just like, you know, when my daughter's showing me how to respond to something on TikTok, we're on TikTok. We are now. We put these little bits. Who knew this show does so well on TikTok? Josh is taking like these little 1 minute pieces and there's like tens of thousands of people are like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Because it's not typical TikTok content, I guess. Yeah. So different forms of literacy, you know, just as she shouldn't ridicule me for not knowing how to, you know, respond to something on there, we don't ridicule them for not understanding the what we think everyone knows about a New York Times op-ed or a Neil Postman book. It's not their medium.
Yeah. That's great. I really appreciate that. And I will take it.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to see if I can take this. Maybe I get it.
Well, maybe you could you could come in as a guest too.
Can I give them a code for a Team Human discount?
Let's do that. Can I do that? Yeah.
You can all get in the Discord by becoming a supporting member of the Team Human tribe. Go to teamhuman.fm and click on support. Even at the low $5 rate gets you all this stuff like Discord access and access to the Patreon. And we're going to put a secret code.
You're getting so good at this.
For people. Well, you know who I've been listening to? Midas Touch podcast.
Yeah.
You know, which is like, sort of like – it sort of replaced Maddow for me as the sort of just – kind of progressive, cathartic thing. And he's so good. He's like, we're trying to get to 6 million. 6 million, can you imagine? 6 million subscribers. Help us get there. Click like, click on the new. And he says all the things, but it doesn't sound evil when he does it. To me, it still feels evil to ask for it. So that's why I put little joke voices on it. But I'm learning.
You're doing it.
I'm doing it. Selling the gospel.
You have to. Well, this is, again, it's like, you know, you're doing it from the right place, you know, from the Team Human place.
Team Human place, yeah.
And we need, oh God, I just keep feeling like we need the many. Right now it feels like the few, the glorious few.
I know.
And we need, but there's every day so I feel like there's many more.
There's
I
many, encounter many my, more.
Because you put out a signal when you make these videos or when you make a podcast like this. And all of a sudden you're like, whoa. You know, like I didn't expect these videos to be seen by hundreds of millions of people. Like now at this point, I expected like, oh, this is going to reach those people who are ready for this kind of thing. And it reached so many people, you know. So then you realize there is a hunger for it, but also we need to gather Team Human, Team Light and cohere because, hey, the dark forces are very – well put together and very coherent and have a lot of power.
I know. And we generally, except in the early 1990s, we've found the technological infrastructure and the mainstream media is not friendly to what we genuinely do. It's so either authoritarian or sensationalist.
Right.
It puts us in an unbalanced non-human state, which is why I always keep saying, you know, touch grass, meet people, hug your neighbors, make love, look into the eyes of a child, pet a dog. But But your work seems to point the way back to, no, you know, there is – we can do this in the – in the most cutting edge technological spaces, there is still that liminal wiggle to do something else.
Yes. No one The imagination is still up for grabs. The future is still up for grabs.
It doesn't – right. And we reached – I'm hoping we reached the peak of it with like Walking Dead and, you know, where we look at the rest of humanity as the refugees on the other side of the fence walking slowly that you're allowed to shoot because they're, you know, Bangladeshi and not American or something.
Right.
You know, which is what that's a metaphor
for. The zombie
for.
Archetype is always the most prevalent.
But that's like the peak – it might be the peak and end of that mainstream media nightmare. And now, finally, we have the tools. I mean, punk, talk about punk. I working on a pilot for a show and had this big AI firm helping to do like the AI character graphics thing. And just this dude friend of mine in an apartment working on his – the dude friend in the apartment, the punk version. So it's visionary. Hmm. Compared to what the company's doing is –
right.
Productized.
Right.
And it's like, oh my gosh. It was the first time I saw this medium favors the punk.
Mm.
You know, and you're trying to grow some punks.
And look at what one person can do. One person can do. I mean, we've done this, you know. I mean, there's always a team. There's always people around you that are encouraging you and supporting you and family and friends and allies. But really, like, this is me at night as a side quest. This starts as me at night as a side quest experimenting with these tools.
Yes, leveraging tens of thousands of hours of unskilled labor.
25 years.
You know, of all these people, though. Yeah. The people getting the rare earth metals.
It's both and, you know, 25 years of craft and quality. Look, with a live action production company for 20 years, I've employed probably thousands of craftsmen. That's
true,
you know,
too.
Like how many commercials, so many projects, so many experiences. And at the same time, yes, there's, you know, there's I have friends Moon Valley building an ethical AI licensed, trained, you know, proper model that can be solved.
But even from an ethical standpoint, if we do have millions of people, which we don't, say tens of thousands of people tagging data and mining molybdenum and doing all that, then this is a giant collective human project. And what do you want this project used for? To further develop the stochastics of an extractive marketplace and end humanity?
Right.
Or to
– and the bunkers.
Right. Or can we build a vision together of something marvelous?
Imagining a different world is possible continuously to counter all this stuff. I feel that same excitement that I did then with these new possibilities when the iPhone was coming out and YouTube and Vimeo were coming out and you could feel, oh, I can make something as a filmmaker, edit it on my computer, shoot it with these cool cameras like these, and millions of people are going to watch it. Same thing with AI now. It's just up to the idea, the imaginal, and the – it's down to ideas, taste, and execution.
Yeah.
That's what we have.
Yeah. Well, let's do it. All right.
You're in.
Yeah.
I'm in Team Human.
Cool.
Thank you.
Cool. All right. Thanks, everybody. Thanks for being on Team Human. Join, click, like, share. You know the drill. I love you all. You've been on Team Human, our last best hope for peeps.
Did you know laundry dryer sheets are actually plastic and the first ingredient is crude oil? It's in your clothes, on your skin, and piling up in landfills. That's why we invented Kobi, spelled C-O-B-I. C-O for cotton and B-I for biodegradable. The first all-cotton 100% biodegradable dryer sheet that works better than those toxic alternatives. No chemicals, no plastic. Just soft, static-free clothes that are safe for your family and the planet. Save 10% on your first order at KobiDryerSheets.com. That's KobiDryerSheets.com.